when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to The Tillage Podcast with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, and you're very welcome to this week's Tillage Podcast. I'm Siobhan Walsh, recording on Wednesday afternoon, it's the 14th of February, and coming up on this week's show, we have the latest on allowances on certain rules surrounding poorly established crops from the Department of Agriculture. We hear from the BASF conference held last week, look at this week's tillage pages and news, of course, and at the grain market and weather reports, as well as details of a competition. And I'll go straight to that competition now. So we want to hear your views on the Tillage Podcast, whether you think it's good, it's bad, the sound is bad, the sound needs to be turned up. We want to hear what you think. So if you fill out the survey, the link is in the description in your Spotify or iTunes, wherever you get your podcast. That link is also in the article online, the Tillage Podcast article. And I know there was an issue with that link last week. So the link is ifj.ie/survey, or click on those links in the description or the article. And if you do that survey, you're in with a chance of winning €100 one for all voucher. So please do take the time to do that survey because we want to improve the podcast. We want to hear what you think and we'd appreciate you taking time out to do that. Okay, business out of the way, on to the big news of the week. Some concessions did come from the Department of Agriculture. So the Irish Farmers Journal was in contact with the Department of Agriculture on patchy crops, on bare patches, and talking about where crops didn't establish. So there was a lot of farmers worried about this at recent seminars, the tillage conference. It was the subject that kept coming up. So the department has given some clarity on this and some improvements for this year. So given the situation, the poor crops that are out there, there is some leniency on some of the conditionality and basic payment or BIS requirements this year. So if you have a field that has loads of bare patches across the field, so small enough bare patches dotted around the field, you do not need to resow them. You do not need to take them out of the parcel and call them fallow. Those fields will be deemed eligible. So they might show up on the satellite from the department, but if they do and you take a picture on your AgriSnap, the department has said that those fields will be eligible, because they don't want to see a situation where farmers go out, resow the patches and damage the good crop, or else go out, reseed the patches and you're sowing with seed that's in short supply and is going to be in a field that's going to be managed differently. So good news on that. And as well, farmers should know that those fields will also qualify for the strong corporation measure. So you will be paid your payment on those fields. Then if we look at fields with bigger patches, so let's say you had a large area of a field that flooded and the crop didn't grow at all in them. So you have an acre or you have 2 acres or 3 acres which didn't come up. Those areas will have to be marked as fallow, They don't have to be resown. You can resow them if you like, but we had figures on the podcast last week. You can listen back on that on resowing, but they don't have to be resown. They can be marked as fallow. And just to note, if they are marked as fallow, then obviously you can't claim a strong corporation payment or a protein payment or whatever on that area because there's no crop in it. So that's good clarification on those things, and a bit of leniency, and will take a little bit of worry off farmers. I suppose the big thing still is the tree crop rule, and a lot of people calling for a derogation from the tree crop rule. As the Farmers Journal understand it, it's not going to be very easy to get that derogation from the tree crop rule. Hopefully it will come, and hopefully flexibility will come, but it looks like it's going to be a difficult process, which is not ideal because we need to be notified of it immediately, really. So from what I understand, the minister has pushed Irish officials to apply for the tree crop rule derogation, the crop diversification requirements derogation, and certainly to look for flexibility on that. And we understand that's now in process. It's now in train. Department officials are working on that at present. But as I said, no guarantee that this will come. So that's just something you need to keep in the back of your minds. But also worth noting, other countries, we're always talking lately, the seed shortage, the poor grain yield, etc., has affected many other countries. So other countries are looking for derogations. Indeed, I think they're looking for derogations for GIAC 6, 7 and 8. So certainly the minister pushing that and the department working on flexibility around the tree crop rule. So that's good news. That's on page 3. The details around the concessions on the bare patches and crops is on page 6 of this week's paper. Okay, next up, I attended the BSF conference last week, and it was a day packed full of information, and we interviewed quite a number of the guests. So we have some of them on this week's show, and we'll have some more of them over the coming weeks. To start off, a crop requiring action soon is going to be oilseed rape. Green area index estimates are going to have to be done. And so we spoke to BSF's Claire Tucker, and Claire had some advice on managing oilseed rape crops this year. Claire Tucker, thanks for joining us. We're here at the BSF conference, and your focus today was on oilseed rape. And oilseed rape it's become a very big crop in Ireland, so plenty of interest in it, and probably a lot of new growers. So green leaf area was a key thing that you were talking about today, Claire.
Yes, so first of all, you want to keep lots of green leaves if you've got the right canopy size. Mm. So the right canopy size at flowering starts you off with lots of green leaves because sun can get down to them. And then after that, you want to keep that green leaf area going.
Yeah, so you talked about green leaf area duration and how that impacts on your yield. So every unit of green leaf area that stays impacts your yield. You might tell us some of the stats you had on that. Or
yes, so if for every green leaf area duration GLAD unit, it's called, it represents 0.13 tonnes per hectare. And yeah, it is a linear relationship, but it doesn't keep on increasing. It yeah. will only increase to a certain amount until actually the plant has got enough green leaf area.
Okay.
And then it will plateau.
And then as part of this, then you were giving advice on growth regulation, and you were talking about carrots in particular. So farmers, they either use the app, of course, to get their green leaf area, or they go out with their quadrat and do it by eye. And you're saying 0.8 is a figure that you use to apply the carrot sash and the rate.
Yep. Okay, so that's about 50% ground cover. Okay. So you look at your crop towards the end of February, just before it goes into stem extension, when the crop is still flat on the ground.
Yeah.
And that means that if you've actually got a sort of crop area of more than 50% ground cover, that means it's economically profitable to actually use carrots. So you will get on average 0.2 tonnes per hectare if you use carrots then later on at stem extension when the crop is actually growing. So it's a really valuable thing to have as to which crop actually needs the carrots.
And then if you've that higher green leaf area, so you used a figure of 2, you're upping your rate of carrots. Yeah. And you might just explain the importance of why you're using that growth regulator and the apical dominance and the branching and all that.
Yeah. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to get high seeds per square meter, because that's the key thing for yield. So a 5-ton crop is 100 seeds per square meter, and you cannot get that all from the main stem. The branches need to be contributing as well. So what needs to happen is that the branches need to be made stronger, and the apical meristem needs to allow the sun down onto those branches. And then that means that by shortening that, taking away the fact that it's obscuring those branches, it means that you get the sun down through the crop, and then that gives you a good seed set for the branches and the main stem together, and that will give you a high seeds per square meter.
Excellent. Okay, and ultimately then hopefully an increase in yield. Something that farmers should be watching out for, Claire, at the same time as applying their growth regulator is life leaf spot.
Yes.
Yeah, so your advice on that then, treat at the first symptoms, obviously.
Yep, so for light leaf spot, you should actually try and treat the crop as soon as you see it in the spring.
Yeah.
Because actually it's best not to delay to stem extension, because if you delay beyond to that time, you actually start losing yield. So if you can get on in February, that's great. In practice, it often doesn't happen. And so therefore, in practice, you may end up having to go on when you do your Carex application, but adding in prothioconazole at that point.
Okay. Yeah. So later on in the season then, Claire, for disease control, you talked about a product from BASF as well, Shepherd.
So yep, so Shepherd is a formulation of Boscalid, which is what we used to have in Phelan, and F500. And the key thing is that it's going on early to mid-flower for disease control, so that's sclerotinia control, alternaria, and topping up on light leaf spot.
Yeah.
But the other thing that it provides is that it helps the plant keep all those green leaves that it's got earlier on. It helps keep the green leaves going for as long as possible, and that buffers the plant, helps seed fill, and hopefully keeps the yield up.
Okay, very good. Thanks very much for joining us there. Thanks to Claire for joining us. And also on page 6 of this week's paper, just to note on the news pages, is Dr. Ewan Mullins. He's the head of crops research at Oak Park, Chagas Oak Park. And Ewan is talking on the EU's vote on new genomic techniques, and that's worth a read as well. On this week's tillage pages then, we have a feature on the Department of Agriculture's Seed Lab. So I visited the Department of Agriculture's Seed Lab a few weeks ago, and I just thought it's a really good place to see the investment in our seed in Ireland. You know, we talk about the seed shortage at the minute, and we see how careful the seed trade are being with you know, derogations on germination with the seed that they're importing into the country. And when you walk around the seed lab and you see the work that's involved in getting that certified seed to where it is, it's really good work. So look, we have a detailed breakdown of the seed lab in the paper. We've more pictures online as well. You can see pictures of the seed collection. And that lab is processing about 10,000 samples a year. I think in 2023 it did 10,500. And at the minute, while I was to and fro about the article with the staff in the seed lab, Brian and Damien and Margaret and some of the other staff, they were just saying how busy the seed lab is at the minute, because there's so many samples coming in, people testing grain for germination to see if it'll pass for seed. So it's a busy time in that lab, and certainly worth a read on the tillage pages this week. Okay, back to BASF now and Dr. Tom McCabe. And Tom is talking about the big crop of the year, or the crop that probably will be the big crop of the year, spring barley. Tom McCabe, thanks for joining us. You gave a presentation, a focus on barley today, and I suppose wheat is generally what we're talking about at this conference and disease control, but barley is going to be the crop of the year, and there's new products coming on stream. But like, barley management it's back to basics really, isn't it, Tom? And you said that in your presentation.
Yeah, I think, Siobhan, with barley, we have to start with basics, but we're starting from a good point. We're growing barley in Ireland. Ireland might just have the perfect climate for growing barley in, even with all that climate unpredictability we've had in the last decade. And, you know, it's all in a recent memory, we've had a lot of climate variability in the last three or four growing seasons, which has had a huge effect on barley. Because, I mean, barley's a crop that's very adapted to our climate, but it's also very sensitive to the weather conditions.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sensitive. Every crop is sensitive, but you'd have to say barley is very sensitive.
Mm.
Then you bring in the soil factor, and that's a very serious, you know, certain soils, obviously a medium to light soil is probably an easier soil to grow barley in than a medium to heavy soil.
Yeah, but you said in your presentation, like, since the 1980s, barley management hasn't really changed very much, and it hasn't in a lot of ways. It's still those basics of getting it into the right conditions.
Some of the blueprints that came out of Michael Conroy's work in Oak Park and malting barley, we revisited that topic 25 years later when we were doing work with Bort Malt.
Yeah.
And we went back. I mean, Michael's work 25 years later, it was still a blueprint to work from. Things had changed. We're using more nitrogen. Our yield.
Yeah.
There is very good genetic improvement, which is a big positive.
Yeah.
You know, we're moving up from those 5-6 ton per hectare crops to those, you know, 8-9-10. It's all legitimate yield targets. It's not leading growers astray to say that's where you want to be thinking in terms of your yield potential. Obviously, again, weather is always the uncontrollable.
Yeah, like Rinko has always been the disease that we talked about on barley traditionally, probably going back those years. But net blotch and ramularia are now major diseases of spring barley now as well.
Yeah, and if there's any trend in over that period of time, and look at it's not going way back, but ramularia was a game changer because suddenly you had another disease. You really had a late season disease because barley disease management was dominated by early season disease control. So now, you know, which is quite a big challenge on winter barley. Most farmers have to say, do I go 2 or 3 sprays? It's probably, you might have 2 sprays on one field, 3 sprays in another field without making it complicated. But you need that flexibility in your thinking. Spring barley, obviously, I think, realistically, I mean, people used to joke almost, oh, sure, it's always just one spray were grand. That's not realistic anymore.
Yeah. You talked about bringing chemistry together as well and how that's important in disease control in barley now.
Yeah. Good story in barley is chemistry is good and it's effective and it's pretty reliable. But what we do also see, and it comes from trials done, the good thing is we're talking about Irish trials done in recent years, done all over the country.
Yeah.
So great geographical spread of information, particularly when we look at winter barley and spring barley. It's almost every county where barley's grown, there's a lot of trial work being done. And it does show that, we have quite a few diseases that are important, but we also have we have 3-4 chemistries, all of which contribute in a very positive way. It doesn't mean you need to use them all the time, but they're all contributing in a positive way to better disease control. Better disease control means more yield, simple, and it means higher quality. And the barley market demands high quality.
Yeah, but there are things we need to do. Like the fungicide is the last thing that we do.
It's kind of the insurance policy.
Yeah, so we need to reduce stress on the plant before all those things.
Look, you just need a good basic crop. If you don't have a good crop, I hate the other word, because we just don't want to go there.
Yeah.
But if you have a good crop, your whole management gets easier. A good crop means high yield potential if you're in good land.
Yeah.
And that means, you know, it becomes much easier to do very good disease control programs. You just got to get your timings right. If you've got a crop that's not a good crop, your decision making becomes very agonizing. You know the figures in terms of margins and what growers are looking at in terms of, you know, staying in profit.
Yeah.
You don't want to be loss making.
When you talk about timing, paintbrush stage came up there. And, like, you know, we always hear about the paintbrush stage, but there's a lot of farmers don't agree with the paintbrush stage.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes I feel you nearly have to be standing in the field. I hate standing on a stage or standing in front of a meeting and say, this is what you should do, and there's a wrong and a right.
Yeah.
To me, it's not like that. Mm. I say, you know, you need good decision-making in the field. Mm. And to be honest with you, that's the only place you can make those good decisions.
Yeah.
You know, it's a farmer in the field, it's an agronomist in the field together, and it's and those decisions can change from field to field. It's not going to be easy. But that's what keeps people doing good farming, is being able to make those decisions and understanding why they may be changing those decisions.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's also reacting to the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's definitely... So
to ask me in February what you should do in the second week in June, wait is the answer.
Yeah, I agree with that answer, because there's just too many factors in there. Tom, I'll let you go, but we'll have to have you on again now. Soon.
Ah, that's okay. See you soon. Leave it till April.
Thanks very much to Tom for joining us. And we'll stick with BASF now and on to another break crop. This time we're looking at beans. And Ian Ford of BASF had some advice. Ian Ford, you just did a great speech there on legumes with BASF. And in Ireland, like, beans is still a relatively new crop to farmers. And a great opportunity to add beans to rotation, isn't it?
It is, yes. Not only the benefits that the crops can provide in terms of the nitrogen fixation and the benefit that has in the following crop, but also there are good effects from the beans on the actual soil biology and the soil structure. And of course, in Ireland, you have the payments as well, the protein payments.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you don't have those over in the UK.
We don't, unfortunately. No.
You have a lot of other payments we'd like, but you don't have that one. Now, Ian, you explained very importantly at the start. So a bean crop is affected by both sink and source. So that's quite unusual, isn't it?
It is, yes, very unusual. And it was something that both we and Pete Berry from ADAS were surprised at when we started to look at the results coming back from the work we've been doing. But it's important to recognise that it's both source and sink, because that obviously impacts on the management factors that we need to consider right throughout the growing season, because they will all play a part in that final yield.
Yeah. And so you explained then that you're trying to build the yield along the way. So you might go into some of that, from, you know, the plants to the per metre squared to having plenty of nodes on the stem and everything.
That's right, yes. It starts right back at the sowing date with regards to the cultivations we have to get the seedbed and getting the right level of crop establishment, so that we've got the right numbers of plants per metre squared, because that will influence the final yields. So that then, with having the right number of plants, we need to have the right size of plants, because obviously having a taller plant allows for more nodes along the stem, which allows potential for more of those nodes to be set as flowers and pods.
Okay, and so we have a tall plant and hopefully plenty of flowers on the plant and everything. We need a good root system. And some of the years now in Ireland, we've seen where beans have been badly affected by drought. So what can we do to build that root system? We plant early, I suppose, is the first thing.
Well, the planting at the right time, I would say, according to the soil conditions. Don't go according to calendar date.
Yeah.
Plant when the conditions are right, because beans typically have been probably seen as a low input crop. They almost could just be ploughed in difficult conditions and they grow away, which to a certain extent they will. But we've seen from this work that the more attention to detail we pay, the better the results we'll get. Mm. So yes, try and avoid compaction. You know, PGRO data suggests that soil compaction can reduce yield by up to 40%. So it's important to allow the roots to grow as much as they can to access and scavenge all the nutrients and water. Mm. Water is particularly important for the crop, because it has a significant impact on various aspects of the yield.
Yeah.
And recent studies from ADAS have shown that a poor root system can actually double the number of days that a crop could suffer from drought stress.
Okay.
So it's important to allow that root system to grow to its maximum potential.
Okay, very important there, Ian. So plant early, but plant only early if in good conditions, and makes total sense, and that compaction issue. You spoke about weed control, and you mentioned Nirvana there for pre-emergence, and I think, you know, all farmers are fairly good on that in Ireland. Disease control then next.
Yep.
So What's your advice on disease control? Chocolate spot, you said, first of all, you know, the minute you see it, you treat it.
Yes, that's it. It's best to avoid the disease getting well established, because all of the products that we have on the market are protectant activity. None of them are curative. So if the disease is there to a high level on the leaves, we're not going to be able to remove that disease and go back to a green leaf. So it's important that, yes, as soon as we start to see the disease, we get on with the protectant spray so that we stop the disease developing further up the canopy.
Yeah, and may require a number of sprays. I know people listening will be saying that's kind of expensive, but your advice, your agronomic advice is you might need quite a number of sprays in order to control that chocolate spot.
You can. Obviously, it depends on the disease pressure and only react according to the season. If the disease isn't coming along, we don't obviously need to put the spray on. But it's important, as you see from the work we've done, that obviously if we have a high level of disease on the leaf, then that's reducing the green leaf area of the crop. That means there's less chance for the crop to photosynthesize.
It didn't come up in your talk, but just rotation. And I know with the payment and everything and difficult conditions this year, I know some people are probably saying, can I chance on rotation, like can I plant my beans in the third year? Not a good idea. And from a disease control and every point of view,
correct. Yeah, it's not a good idea. It's best to keep it to a minimum of 5 year gap between the pulse crops, because of that potential for disease carryover from previous crops can severely impact on the crop that you're going to grow. So don't bring it shorter than that.
Thanks very much, Ian. Great advice there for people.
Okay,
on to grain markets now. And look, grain markets aren't great this week. Good news on oilseed rape, but no real good news on grain. So I'll just go into my report now, and I'm opening up the app as well to see where prices are at the minute. So Matif wheat for December, it's after falling rapidly. So if we look, it fell by about €6.75 per ton last week, that was the May price. The December price fell by €4.75 per tonne last week on Friday, and then it was finished at €2.21. By Tuesday evening, that was down another €3 per tonne to €2.18. And as I look now, oh jeepers, it's fallen again now. I know we're not at close of business yet on Wednesday, but it's at €2.14.75 per tonne on Wednesday afternoon. So not a good story on Matif wheat at the minute, or wheat, any wheat indeed. Corn is also falling, but look, positivity on oilseed rape. So if we just look at where oilseed rape was, the November price, the Matif price, was at €4.25 per tonne on Friday evening. That was up €5.50 in the week, moved up further then on Tuesday evening to €4.29.75. And as I look now on Wednesday afternoon, it's at €4.29.25, so similar. Just to remind people, you might have been offered a price on malting barley, that €2.40 per ton, and that might still be available from your merchant if you want to avail of it on up to 20% of your contract. Look, no good story in grain. Plenty of grain on the market, plenty of maize on the way from South America. So just look, you never know what's going to happen between now and harvest. It's only February. So talking about the harvest price at this time of the year, you know, it's a long way away. So things might improve between now and then. On to the weather now, and I have the weather forecast in from Met Éireann. So Friday, generally cloudy in the morning with some fog patches for a time in the north and northwest, with plenty of dry weather. Further south, showery outbreaks of rain, clearing eastwards in the morning, and then temperatures of 10 to 13 degrees, and at night time 3 to 7 degrees, and some light drizzle in places. Saturday, dull and misty start with fog. Patches of light rain and drizzle will give way as a band of rain moves into western coast in the mid-morning and crosses eastwards across the country. Highest temperatures of 10 to 13 degrees and southeast winds easing light southwesterly later. Sunday then, a good deal of cloud at first, it says. Scattered showers will develop in the Atlantic counties earlier on. And they'll move eastwards by early afternoon, temperatures of 11 to 14 degrees. So plenty of rain in the forecast. And then current indications suggest that Monday and Tuesday will be largely dry with light to moderate west to southwest winds on Monday. South to southwest winds will freshen on Tuesday. And a band of rain moves in from the west later. So there might be a bit of a spraying day on Monday maybe if those winds aren't too bad. And Wednesday will likely be a wet day with heavy rain at times and temperatures of 10 to 13 degrees. Look, Wednesday's a long way away yet, but yeah, certainly rain most of those days. Sunday looks to be the best day, and then Monday in parts the east and the southeast and southwest maybe look a bit drier than other places. Okay, that's it for this week. Thanks to our guests, to Claire, to Tom and to Ian. Thanks to Claire and Jerome, of course, back at base for editing. Thanks to you for listening. Fill out that survey if you can, ifj.ie/survey. And until next week, stay safe and keep the tillage flag flying.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com